Good morning and happy Sabbath. You don't know how excited I am to be here. When I was invited to come, I was speaking to Brother Frank, I haven't been to Conroe, and I'm not going to say never. I was brought as a child, and don't ask me what I remember because I don't remember anything. I just remember my parents saying, "We're going to Conroe." I grew up in the Church of God and have been in the church ever since. And so it's a blessing when you can always go back to the churches. I had that privilege of going back to the churches my dad visited for many years and now is working in the district, being able to go back to these congregations and preach to them when they've known me as a child. So it's a wonderful blessing and it's a privilege. I always am thankful to God for this opportunity of being able to stand before His church and be able to bring a message. Brother Dennis was introducing us, my wife, I always forget to introduce my wife, but she has always been a great support to me in the ministry. As you know, working for the district and then working for the board conference sometimes gets me out of the house a lot and gets me into phone conferences over the week. And so just because I'm out of work doesn't mean that I stop working. And so she has to be patient with me sometimes, waiting over dinner or whatever activity we're doing after work. And so I just tell her, bear with me, this won't take long. And she says, I know what that means. That means it's going to take very long. So I have a wonderful wife. I'm thankful for that. We've been married for 21 years, and I'm grateful to God for that. I want to share with you some scripture. I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans. I shared this message with the church in Corpus where we were visiting last month. I always tell my home church that when we read scripture, you know, us preachers, we always say, well, you know what it says there, or we've read this before. But I want you to always look at this with eyes and reading it as you've never read it before. Because I think the Word of God is always fresh to us, and His Spirit will refresh us in His Word. And so don't just take it for granted that you've read these passages before and just, you know, oh, here we go again with the same old story. I want you to have your ears, your eyes, be anointed by that Spirit of God that can bring us this message afresh, to new in our lives. And so Romans 1, verse 5, I want to begin there with verse 5. And it begins there by saying that through Him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience. By the way, this is the Apostle Paul writing this letter. And he says, through Him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. This faith, this simple faith of believing in Jesus Christ, this simple faith of coming to Him and believing that He is a Savior, that He is going to redeem or has come to redeem us from this world, from this dying world. And it is the apostle here reminding the church that it is only through Him that we have received this generous gift, the generous gift of His life. And it is so urgent for us as believers to be able to pass this gift of faith. How is this done? Look at verse 8 in the same chapter. It says, "For I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Can you imagine this? Can you imagine the Church of Conroe being mentioned in Scripture? And that somebody is reminding the rest of the world about your faith in God. How amazing is that? That a church can be mentioned by its faith. And that people can now, hundreds of years later, be able to reflect on God's Word and say, what great faith did that church have? That the Apostle Paul mentions them here. Look at verse 16. For I am not ashamed, says the Apostle Paul. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he says, because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. Verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God says that it is revealed from faith to faith. And it is written, he says, that the just shall live by faith. It is the power of God. This gospel that we have come to believe, it is the power of God. And it is only in this gospel that we find a truth revealed to mankind of how we become righteous. What makes us righteous before God? What justifies us in the presence of God? It says that it is revealed from faith to faith. Paul wanted for the church to be certain of this one thing, that only righteousness or true righteousness comes by us having faith in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our righteousness. I had entitled this sermon, How Does Faith Look? How does faith look? Because for many of us in our circles, we can talk about our faith. We can tell others how faithful we are to God. We can even announce to the world how Christian we are. We use the language. We use our mannerisms. We can dress up like Christians. But does that reveal our faith? Does that show others what faith looks like? Hebrews 11:1, which is a verse that we are familiar with. Hebrews says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. That is faith. That is what you and I claim to have. Is the substance of things hoped for. Substance is tangible. Evidence means that it has to be seen. We can't go on just saying that we have faith and there be no evidence of our faith. That there be no substance of our faith. I think that's what's lacking in our Christian world today, and maybe within the Church of God, is that we claim we have faith, but where is that evidence of our faith? Where is that fruit of our faith that we can demonstrate and we can proclaim to the world that this is the faith in whom we stand on, which is Jesus Christ? I base my story this morning in Luke chapter 7. And it is a simple story of this woman who comes to the feet of Jesus, literally comes to his feet. Luke chapter 7, starting there with verse 36. Beginning there with verse 36, it says that one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and he sits down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city, and Luke identifies her as a sinner. Ever notice that? Can you imagine your name being in the Bible or somebody identifying you in Scripture and saying, and they are a sinner, by the way. But it is significant in this story for us to know that this woman was actually a sinner. There's meaning behind it. And the writer tells us that there was this woman in the city who was a sinner. When she knew, when she heard that Jesus sat at the table of this Pharisee's house, she goes into this house. Now, I don't know about you, but it sounds like this woman was very desperate to meet this man whom she had heard that could come and change lives and change them for the better. I don't have this habit of doing this, although Brother Dennis opened his house last night to me to stay with him. But how many of you have heard of somebody coming to somebody's house and you invite yourself in? Unannounced. Unwelcomed. This woman hears about Jesus. She hears about this man coming to change lives. And she hears about all these great things about Jesus. And she invites herself into this man's house. And not just an ordinary man, but a Pharisee's house. She's breaking all the rules. And she brings with her an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And it says there in verse 38, and she stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she begins to wash his feet with her tears. And she wipes him with the hair of her head. And she kisses the feet of Jesus, and she anoints them with the fragrant oil. Again, can you picture this woman coming into this Pharisee's house, unannounced, unwelcome? But the writer tells us that she is a sinner. And there's someone special in that house that she is determined to come close to. Isn't that faith? Isn't that faith? How many people out there in this world are in need of salvation, are in need of hearing the good news, are in need of having their lives transformed for the glory to God? And yet, when we tell them that service begins at 10 in the morning, they're nowhere to be found. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This woman didn't even have to tell her neighbors, "I believe in Jesus Christ." This woman didn't have to announce anything to anyone because her actions themselves were evidence of that faith that she had placed in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? And yet it says there that she begins to wash his feet with her tears, and she begins to wipe them with the hair of her head, and she begins to kiss his feet and anoint them with that with the fragrant oil. Verse 39. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet," talking about Jesus, "if he were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she is." You see the big difference there? The Pharisee knew about God because he was smart. He thought that by his intelligence, by being intellect, that he had this close relationship with the Father. I think many of us think the same way, that we can become close to God and have a great relationship with God because we know all that there is to know about Scripture. All there is to know about every single verse that we can read. And we can read on about theology, and we can study on about philosophy and all this great stuff. But he was so far away from God. And we know that because he still doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the one. And yet this woman, again a sinner, hears about Jesus Christ. She is desperate for salvation, and she comes running in, crying, begging. What a great difference here. Because it was a Pharisee who had invited Jesus in to his home. Did he invite him because he believed in Jesus? I don't think so. Did he invite him because he believed that Jesus could change his life? No. Because a Pharisee was a Pharisee and he believed that he was already righteous. That's why he turns to this woman and says, if he only knew who this woman was, she's a sinner. Jesus goes on to answer him, and he tells him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he says, teacher, say it. And he goes on to tell him about this parable, about this creditor who had two debtors, and one owed him 500 denarii and the other 50, and when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. And then he tells this Pharisee, Jesus asked him, which of them will love him more? Simon, again, being the smart one, he says, well, of course, the one that was forgiven more. And Jesus tells him, you have rightly judged. And he turns and he looks at this woman. And Jesus points to this woman and says, do you see her? Do you see this woman? He says, when I came to your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her head. That is the big difference there, my brethren. One proclaimed to have faith in God, but didn't show it. One came to hear the gospel, came to hear the good news of this man, and demonstrated it by the actions that she took from the very beginning as she came into that neighbor's house. And Jesus said, this is the difference here, is that you're telling me that you have this great relationship with my Father, but I can see right through you that you don't. This is what faith looks like. Verse 45 goes on to say, Jesus says, you gave me no kiss, but this woman has not stopped from kissing my feet since the time that I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrance. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, because she has loved much. She has loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, says Jesus, the same loves little. Verse 48. And then Jesus turns to this woman and he tells her, your sins are forgiven. He makes her righteous. He makes her righteous before the eyes of God, and because of her great faith that she demonstrated there by washing his feet, by worshiping him, by serving him, by loving him, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. She needed a Savior. She was in desperate need of a Savior. It's no wonder the scripture tells us that faith comes by hearing, right? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing what? Hearing the Word of God. That's why I asked you this morning, allow for the Spirit of God to speak to you this morning. Because it is that faith that we place on Jesus Christ that will allow us to do these good works. It is going to be that faith that is going to draw us to the feet of Jesus in desperate need of salvation. I don't know about you, but I need Jesus every day. I want to be in His presence every day. This Pharisee missed the point. This Pharisee missed the whole point of what Jesus was trying to teach him. Verse 49 goes on to say that those who sat at the table with him began to themselves, and who is this? Who is this man who's forgiving sins? As an insult to the Son of God. Who is this man? And I'm sure that woman could have answered, he's the one who has forgiven me of my sins and has made me righteous before the Father. Although we don't find that in Scripture. But she'd be the perfect person to testify of her faith in Jesus Christ. So Jesus, hearing the words of his critics, verse 50, he goes on to say, and he says to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Wow. Wow. Because they weren't waiting for Jesus to add any more to what he had already given to this woman. They thought that was it. Not only were her sins forgiven, but her faith had saved her. Her faith had saved her. So the Apostle Paul says that the just shall live by faith. This is faith, brethren. It's more than just accepting or believing that Jesus Christ makes us righteous and that he saves us. It implies that we reflect a life of being saved. It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to live it. This woman was living it. She was living that faith. Romans 12:2 tells us to not be conformed any longer to this world. But it says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Righteousness is received by faith in Christ Jesus and is in turn revealed in faithful living. Just recently, in one of the comments in our Sabbath school lessons at, I can't tell you where I was at, but I heard this comment of some woman answering a question, and she said, well, God can't expect for me to be there yet because I'm still over here. And then the question was asked, well, did you receive the gospel by faith? Because the gospel talks, the Bible talks that the gospel, we receive it and it transforms us for the glory to God. Now many people think, well, that should make us perfect. It's not talking about making us perfect without blemish. But it reconciles us, brings us closer to God through his Son. And it is that faith that we demonstrate, that faith that we have in him. James chapter 1. By the way, I want to share with you, I see Nugget Gold here, and it just brings me back memories of Brother Gold. We loved him so much. He did so much in our area. When I decided to help in church work, I didn't imagine myself working in the district, much less in the conference level. But I remember Brother Gold coming to our church, and to him he always said, I'm coming to my home church, because we would always sit around after service and just fellowship and have a great time, and he'd share with us some stories, and just a man of great faith. I loved him. He was a great mentor to a lot of us there at church. And so we looked to him. He was there with us, with my family, when I lost my father. And so he, just by seeing you, it just reminds me so much of him. And just the blessing that serving God's church has been for me, and allowing God to work in my life. I never pictured myself, like I said, serving where I am, but God has his plans, and as long as you allow him to work through your life, anything is possible. James 1, verse 22. It says, "But be doers of the word and not just hearers." Remember I said that faith comes by hearing God's word? This woman heard. And if this woman had just heard the news that Jesus was coming to her town and just said, "Wow, that sounds great," and just sat there at her home, nothing would have happened. But this woman hears, right? She hears about Jesus coming to her town and she says, "I gotta go. I have to be near this man who can change my life. I hear great things about him." But be doers of the word, not just hearers. Because faith is the evidence of things. It goes on to say, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For anyone that is a hearer of the word, and not a doer," it says that he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. "For he observes himself, he goes away, and then he immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Verse 25, "But when he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but is a doer of the work, this one will he be blessed in what he does." In what he does. Not just by proclaiming that he has faith, but he is a hearer and he is a doer of the word. God's works are a byproduct of our faith. God's works, God's good works that we do, is a byproduct of our faith. Again, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that we can't see. I leave you this morning with this great challenge, my brothers and sisters, that those of us that claim to have this faith in Jesus Christ must have substance, must have evidence of our great faith. Are you with me? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you still speak to us. I thank you, Lord, that there is still righteousness and salvation found in your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us, Lord. Help us to be a people of great faith. In Jesus' name, amen.